Hi, this is Adrian Westney Jr. You're now listening to The More Abundant Life, and I'm glad you've joined us today. I'm your host for today's program, and today we have a sermon by Pastor Phipps entitled, How Do You Say Thanks to a King? It's a long message, so we're going to start that message in just a few seconds. I hope, though, that you will stay tuned, because after the message, I'll have some information for you that I'm sure you will want to take note of. So, without further ado, here now is Pastor Phipps with today's sermon.
My message this morning, how do you say thanks to a king? If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of Luke. Luke 17, verse 12, the Bible says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. On his last journey to Jerusalem, our Lord in compassion turned his eyes toward a sad and pathetic sight. There on the road leading to a Galilean village was a scene not uncommon for those times. Traveling in a group, huddled closely to each other, was a band of 10 men afflicted with that dreaded disease called leprosy. Leprosy is an awful disease. It starts with a white patch of skin that becomes numb, so much so that you can't even feel when a needle is piercing that very spot. It manifests itself on the face, and as a result, the disease is impossible to hide. It begins to form spongy tumors on the face. And at the same time, it attacks the internal organs. Your nerve endings become numb. And as a result, you can't even tell when someone is hurting you. You burn your hand and you don't even know it. Sometimes the disease begins with specks on the eyelids and on your palms. And it spreads over the body, bleaching your hair white, crusting the affected parts with white scales, causing terrible sores and swelling. The disease eats, literally eats you away to the bones, rotting the whole body piece by piece. And in the late stages of leprosy, your limbs, your appendages actually fall off. Your hands, your toes, your nose. And even though none of us today have been afflicted with that disease, that's really a good description of another disease we're all born with called sin. It's part of our genetic code. We got it from our parents, and they got it from their parents. Lepers were called the walking dead, because they were seen to be literally dead while they were alive. They couldn't work or worship with other people. And here you have these 10 men traveling together, pariahs, outcasts from society. They lived in hovels and caves. They roamed from city to city. People today complain about the kind of hotels they are forced to stay in. These men could only spend their nights in dumps and graveyards and tombs. They were 10 men who hung together, sharing their laughter and their tears. 10 men who had found in each other a refuge from the hard, cold stares of a rude public. You know, sometimes when you are an outcast, the public gets rude. When you are a pariah, they are often frightened. And these 10 men had learned how to comfort each other and encourage each other. They provided solace and friendship. They found in each other's fellowship a little sanctuary from the chilly winds of loneliness. And together these 10 men shared their disgust, the disgust of the countrymen and the disdain of their own family and friends. You know, while they were healthy, these 10 men were adversaries. But in sickness, they were brothers. Sickness does that to you. Leprosy had brought to these 10 men, turned them into a fraternity. Sickness is the great leveler of humanity, and it'll make brothers of enemies. It'll make men think thoughts they have never thought before. Sickness will bring together people of different races and backgrounds. These men didn't have to be taught about race relations. Oh, are you with me today? They knew the meaning of integration. The Bible tells us 9 of them were Jews, 1 was a Samaritan. And here you had 9 Jews, 1 Samaritan, mortal enemies, now the best of friends. And we as human beings today, even in our churches, are so blinded and arrogant that even though we are afflicted with the same disease called sin, we are still arrogant. And we have the audacity and the arrogance to set up in the body of Christ black leper colonies and white leper colonies and West Indian leper colonies. And it's because we are really sick and twisted in another kind of way. Let's face it, we're all lepers. We're all sinners who have come short of the glory of God. The word had reached these lepers that Jesus was not very far away, and they remembered that someone had said that in his presence, lepers were cleansed. And I know it's hard for you to appreciate this word, that in the presence of Jesus, lepers are cleansed. You would first have to be a leper to understand the power of that rumor. You would have to be a leper to understand the power of that rumor that in the presence of Jesus, lepers are cleansed. You would have to really be a leper to understand how you would feel to hear that in his presence, members of a dying community find life. For these 10 men, this was a promise of paramount importance. For these 10 men, this was a hope of staggering proportions. That in the presence of Jesus, lepers are cleansed. And that's all they knew. The word had reached them that somehow Jesus would be passing by that day. And, you know, sometimes you come to church with that hope that one, maybe Jesus would pass your way. They knew these lepers when they saw the crowd begin to gather and they heard that Jesus was coming by. They saw the crowd. They understood that they were really barred from his view because as lepers, they knew well the rules of engagement. They could only stand afar off, and they stood there wondering what to do. A certain distance away, they dared not come any closer, and church, what happened next was absolutely amazing for that time, because this small colony of lepers, 10 of them, desperate to attract the attention of Jesus, began to unashamedly advertise their predicament and their plight. The Bible tells us that as he passed by on the road to Jerusalem, that those 10 lepers, all 10 of them together, lifted up their voices in a strident chorus. They began waving their deformities above their heads, shouting, "Have mercy, Jesus!" Together in concert, they began to broadcast their predicament and their circumstances. "Jesus, over here! Look this way! Have mercy on us!" Now, I've never been a leper, but I must confess to you that many a day I've prayed that leper's prayer. I felt just that way. I've cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on my soul." I prayed it when the light that guides me have grown dim in my life. "Have mercy, Jesus." I prayed it when the promise of earthly joys failed to comfort me. I prayed it on the busy highways and byways of life. I prayed it on the crowded thoroughfares of our cities. "Jesus, have mercy on me." I prayed it on the land. I prayed it on the sea. And I've got to tell you, when you realize that you are flying in an airplane in an aluminum cylinder at 500 miles an hour, you too will pray, "Jesus, have mercy." I prayed it when I've stumbled. I prayed it when I faltered. I prayed it when I failed him. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that I still pray it. I pray it when I need to hear him whisper to me one more time, "I still love you, son." I pray it when I need to hear him whisper softly, "My child, dry your weeping eyes. It's going to be all right. You've been forgiven." I prayed it when I've had a mountain of responsibilities stacked up against me. I prayed it when there seemed to be no way out. "Master, have mercy." And I've learned in trouble or out of trouble, pray that prayer. It's not just a leper's prayer. It's your prayer. Those 10 lepers were covered with spots and sores, and all of them believed that if Jesus would only look their way. And as their cries filtered through the air, the crowd grew silent. Everybody waited to see what Jesus would say and what Jesus would do. And it is amazing to me, Jesus did not take the time to interview these 10 men. He didn't take the time to question them of their circumstance. He didn't even say, "What's wrong?" He knew what was wrong. You see, Jesus can look at you and tell what's wrong with you. And Jesus shattered the silence, and all he said was, "Go show yourselves to the priest." He didn't say hello. He didn't say good morning. He just said, "Go show yourself." Now, a leper only showed himself to the priest when he was sure that he had been healed. And so, for Jesus to tell them, "Go show yourself," that was a command from Jesus calculated to test their faith. "I've been healed." The command to keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy. That is a command from God to test your faith. when the whole world is doing it another way. And God in his word says the seventh day is the Sabbath. Keep it holy. That command from God is there to test your faith. When God says return a faithful tithe and you're broke, that is a command to test your faith. And I'm sure those 10 lepers must have thought to themselves, but Master, we've been to the priest. They sent us the way, the same way we came. Why do you send us back to the priest? But somehow those lepers gathered together the collective courage to follow the word of Jesus, and they started together heading to the temple. Took him at his word, set out for Jerusalem, their limbs scorched and burning. They set their faces towards the temple. Sometimes that's what it takes to follow Jesus. You've got to set your face like a flint, believing what you cannot prove will become a reality, but you believe in it anyway. You have to trust him with the impossible. You have to surrender before you even see deliverance come to your helpless soul. The scriptures tell us that as they went, before they had journeyed far, they began to look at each other. Josephus, look at your face. What's wrong with my face? Something's happening to your face. What's happening to my face? It's coming like I remember you. When you were a young man with life and healing. Church, I want you to know there is a certain immediacy to the healing hand of God. Don't let anybody tell you that God can't heal you just like that. Don't let anybody tell you that God can't take away a habit just like that. Are you listening to me today? Don't let anybody tell you that God can't take care of a problem in your life just like that. And if he doesn't, it is because he knows that blessings without character will destroy you. And before he blesses you, he wants to know that you got the character to handle it. Because he's not, listen to me, God is not about just blessing you. He's about saving you. And, are you with me today? Don't miss this. His blessings are calibrated to save you. That's why he blesses you, to call you. People who used to smoke and drink and abuse controlled substances, I've seen those same people give their lives to Jesus, and before you know it, they begin to look like new people. These 10 lepers took hold of this blessing, and every one of them to a man saw that God had blessed them. Oh, but one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, determined that he was going to turn back. You see, as he headed with the other 10 to the village, with the other 9 to the village, he was going back just like they were, back to the priests, back to church, back to society, back to a life of respectability. Have mercy, Jesus. You don't know what that's like to be an outcast, and then suddenly you're robed in respectability. And as they were all going, all 10 of them going back, this one leper said to himself, wait one minute. When I had it all, and I got leprosy, when I had all the money and I had all the prestige and I had all the security, I got leprosy, and then I couldn't find my friends. The same people I'm going back to abandoned me. Huh? My so-called friends rejected me. And I was living in a living hell, but look at me now. I'm all cleaned up. Jesus has healed me. Wait, my family, they're going to wait. My church, they're going to wait. my career, it's got to wait. I'm going to find Jesus. I've got to find the one who healed me. And this one man left the others. He turned back. He ran. And like in Africa, in the old days, when you met a king, you'd fall on your knees and on your face. And this man fell on his knees. The Bible says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. Now, are you with me today? He didn't quietly discuss with Jesus his heartfelt appreciation. Are you with me today? He didn't whisper his gratitude in guarded tones. The Bible says with a loud voice, he magnified the Lord. With a loud voice, he glorified God with the same loudness that he cried for mercy. He now glorified God. And when I think about what God has done for me, and I realize that none of it could be done by me, I have to praise him. Amen. Because Jesus saved me. I'm sure this leper, whenever he heard that Jesus was around, and whenever he heard Jesus was teaching and preaching, I'm sure from that day forward, that leper found a front row seat. And as Jesus would stand up to preach, I'm sure this one leper would raise his voice from the crowd and say, I love you, Jesus. Glory to God. Reminds me of that story. I love that story of that deacon who would be in church just praising the Lord and shouting and carrying on. And they got the deacon board together and said, we got to go talk to this deacon. He's making too much noise in church. And so they sent this deacon board and they found him out there plowing in the fields. And they said, deacon, we got to talk to you. You've been really disturbing the service, and you've been saying too many amens, and you've been carrying on and shouting, and that deacon just had that mule in his hand, and he said, you know, when I think of how good God, I've got to apologize. He said, but when I think of how good God has been to me, he said, do me a favor, hold my mule while I shout. Today I ask you, do you have something to give God thanks for today? So open your mouth, give him thanks. Remember, Jesus doesn't need your thanks. But we need to thank him. I think it was Martin Luther who said, we got to realize everything we have to give to God comes from him anyway. You didn't hear that. Everything you could ever give to God first came from God. The psalmist says, the beast of the forest are mine, saith the Lord. The cattle, are you with me today? Cattle upon a thousand hills are mine. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I don't need your praise. God says, we don't own anything. If I were thirsty, I wouldn't tell you. Every lake is mine. Every river belongs to me. Everything we have, everything we own belongs to him. God doesn't need your praise. We don't praise him, church. If we don't praise him, the trees of the field will begin to clap their hands. If we don't praise him, the winds will form a choir and sing of his glory. If we don't praise him, the thunder will roll and give their own testimony. Martin Luther said, the only thing you have to give to God that is not already his is your praise. The only thing you have to give to God that is purely yours is your praise. It's the only thing that he has not given to you himself. Jesus spoke in those mournful tones, were there not 10? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise except this stranger? Is it only, isn't it funny how when you help people, it's the people you least expected from who come back to say thank you. And you know, that's the difference between a blessed, listen, thank you, Jesus. That's the difference between a blessed life and a miserable life. Gratitude. Right down the middle of this church, you can separate everybody who's living a blessed life and everybody who's living a miserable life. And the one difference you will find is gratitude. Because when you're grateful to God, if you've got nothing, you still feel blessed. Someone said the worst thing about being an atheist is being thankful and having no one to thank. Giving thanks is a cornerstone of being blessed. Oh, you're listening to me. Giving thanks is the foundation upon which your life will be blessed. And so if you're not living a blessed life, it is, oh, are you with me today? If you are not living a blessed life, it is because you haven't learned how to be thankful to God. You ought to praise him. Hallelujah. I heard of one brother who was so blessed. He was determined to find a way to magnify, glorify God. So he went down to the courthouse and changed his first name to Hallelujah. So from then on, every time somebody greeted him, they had to praise the Lord. They said, good morning, Hallelujah. How you doing, Hallelujah? How's your day, Hallelujah? My brother, my sister, you don't have to change your name, but you can praise him anyway.
Well, that brings us to the end of the message for today. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, you have two options. You may call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342, and you want to refer today to program number 311. You may also email a request to the Seabrook AV. That is seabrookav@yahoo.com. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Wesley Jr. I hope that you'll join us again for another program. But until you can, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.